It was last year when a man named Jeremy Hale purchased the contents of an abandoned storage locker. And as he examined the contents of the boxes and the totes that he found there in that locker, he soon discovered three old Bibles, each of which contained a stash of cash. You know, after flipping through all of the pages of those Bibles, he was blessed beyond belief as he realized that there was over $1,000 hidden in those three holy books. And while he was most certainly super stoked to discover this hidden currency hidden in these Bibles, he quickly set the Bibles aside, you know, and focused in on counting the cash, and all the while failing to realize that those Bibles actually contained greater blessings than that small stack of cash. Those Bibles that he set to the side have blessings that are way beyond $1,000. In order to prove my point, I would remind you that the Bible actually contains the blessed message of the cross by which sinners can be saved from the wrath of God. That alone is worth more than $1,000. But that's not all the Bible contains. You see, the Bible contains a detailed description of the promises, all of the promises that are provided to those who trust in Jesus Christ. And what's even more incredible is that the Bible helps us to communicate with our Creator. It helps us to understand how to pray and how to even study the Scriptures. And not only that, but the Bible helps every believer to rest in the assurance of our salvation by describing the way that the Holy Spirit has actually sealed us until the day of redemption. And so it gives us peace of mind as we're here on this earth. And listen, this is just a scratch on the surface of all the blessings that are described in the pages of the Bible. And what's truly sad is that there are many people who have no clue about all of these blessings found in the Bible. And the reason why is because they leave the Bible on the shelf, there it collects dust, and meanwhile they spend their whole life pursuing a little bit of cash. Listen, if that sounds like your life, then I encourage you to consider today the blessings that are given to those who spend time studying the Bible. And it's here in our text today where we find the Lord Jesus helping his audience to understand that the Bible is actually filled with many, many blessings. And these blessings are for those who will actually take the time to study the Word of God. Now, as we study the Scriptures before us this morning, we'll begin to see, first of all, that the blessings of the Bible belong to those who will contemplate the Word of God. Secondly, we'll see that the blessings of the Bible belong to those who comprehend the Word of God. And then thirdly and finally, we'll see that the blessings of the Bible actually belong to those who consecrate the Word of God. And with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Here we find the Lord Jesus. He's presenting a promise of blessings to those who will embrace the Bible. And as you make your way to the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel account, I just want to spend a second putting our text back into its context. It'll help us to remember that the time had come for Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And it's for this reason that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And along the way to Jerusalem, he took the time to minister to the people who were coming and seeking him. And it's here in our text today where we find a woman. She's worshiping the Lord by honoring his mother Mary. And that's when the Lord Jesus takes the time to encourage her to study the Word. With this as the focus, let's pick up our study of Luke chapter 11. I want to focus your attention beginning at verse 27. Here we learn that happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Here in these verses, we find this unnamed woman. She's worshiping the Lord Jesus. And the way she went about this was to honor his mother, Mary. She was saying, "Hey, your mom is blessed because you're such an incredible guy." Without debate, it's true that Mary was blessed among women. And the main reason why is due to the fact that hers was the womb which was chosen to bring forth the only begotten Son of God, who was sent by God the Father to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And so Mary was truly blessed to be the mother of our Savior Jesus. Well, it's true that Mary was the woman who was blessed with this privilege. It's also true that according to Jesus, every person can also be blessed by simply spending time studying the Scriptures. With this in mind, let's take another look at our text today. If you would, let's back up and begin reading once again there in the middle of verse 27, where this woman declares, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nourished you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now that word blessed, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those who are satisfied no matter the circumstances. Everything can be going wrong and circumstances can be horrible, but this person is satisfied or blessed no matter what. It's a level of satisfaction in the life of the individual that the Rolling Stones could never achieve. The reason why is the satisfaction is found in our Savior Jesus Christ. Not only that, but listen, Jesus was referring to the blessed state of the believer who is filled to overflowing with all of the favor of God, which is revealed here in the scriptures. And while it's true that every born-again believer has been blessed with the gracious favor by which we're forgiven, it's also true that the blessings of the Lord are poured out on those who spend time studying the word of God. Let's consider again how the Lord Jesus puts it here in verse 28. Here again, he declares, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now, as we take a closer look at the promise that Jesus here is presenting to his followers, it's important for us to understand that our Savior wasn't suggesting that these blessings are only for those who literally hear the audible voice of God. These blessings just aren't for someone who, like, audibly hears God talking to them. No, instead, he's helping his audience to understand that there are special blessings for those who will take the time to study the scriptures with careful contemplation. In order to make my case, I should point out that the word "hear" found there in the middle of verse 28, well, it's translated from a Greek word which was not only used of those who have been endowed with the sense of hearing, but the same Greek word was also used of those who take the time to consider the information that they're receiving. To hear something is not just to hear the audio, but rather to contemplate what is being said or what is being read. In this sense, the Greek word, which here is rendered "hear," it's used in reference to those who spend time studying the scriptures. Those who hear the word of God are those who are actually contemplating the information that the Lord has revealed here within the pages of his holy word. In order to further make my point, let's consider something that Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy. If you would hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you make your way to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, I just want to take a moment to address a heresy that's presented by a false teacher named Femi Arabisala. According to Femi, those who want to receive the word of God today don't need a Bible, he says. He says, we don't need a Bible, we only need the Holy Spirit. In other words, this false teacher named Femi, he wants us to set aside the scriptures and instead, just listen to the voice of God. Now, listen, I'm all for Christians learning how to listen to the voice of our good shepherd. And we should most certainly learn how to recognize that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. God does still talk to us. And yet, listen, it's important to understand that there's a question mark when it comes to the voices we hear in our head, so to speak. You know, is that God's voice? Or is that my voice? Or is that another voice? Remember, demons love to throw those ideas into our minds as well. And so when it comes to those voices that we hear in our heads, it's very subjective. How do you know it's from God or not? With that, it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit, who does still speak to us in a still small voice, the Holy Spirit is the one who also inspired the scriptures so that Christians have an objective basis for discovering and defining good doctrine. In other words, if you want to know about the voices in your head that you're hearing and you want to know if it's God or not, compare it to what the Bible says. The Bible was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we have an objective basis for good doctrine. The Spirit also inspired the Scriptures so that we can have a perfect standard for correction as well as instruction in righteousness. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 14. Here, Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here in these verses, we find Paul assuring Pastor Timothy that the Scriptures are crucial for Christians because they have been inspired by God. That phrase, inspiration of God, found there in verse 16, well, it's actually translated from a Greek word which might be better rendered God-breathed. The Scriptures are God-breathed, and I guarantee you that God does not have bad breath. The Scriptures that we find in the Bible have been divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And according to Paul, the divinely inspired Scriptures were written so that we have this objective basis for defining doctrine and for correcting false teachers like Femi Arabisala, who would tell us to put aside the Scriptures and just listen to the voices in our head. Be careful with that. In order to further make my point, let's take another look here at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to draw your attention once again to verse 16, where Paul again declares, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I should take a moment to point out that according to Paul, it's not some of these Scriptures. All Scriptures were given so that Christians can become complete believers who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. And just to be clear about this, it should be noted here that our English word Scripture is actually translated from the Greek word graphe. And the Greek word graphe was used to denote either a book or the writings within a book. When Paul refers to the Scriptures here, when he says all Scriptures, he's saying all graphe, and he's actually referring to the words which are written here in our Bible. With that being the case, we could render 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 in this way. All of the written words in the Bible are given by the divine inspiration of God. That's what he's saying. All of the words written in the Bible were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. If you come across something that you don't like in the Bible, your issue is with God. Because those words were inspired by God. That being the case, then it only stands to reason that this statement, found here in 2 Timothy 3, was also inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. In order to prove my point, I would appeal to a statement that Peter made in 2 Peter chapter 3. There, the apostle Peter informs us that the epistles of Paul, which had already been written at the time of 2 Peter, he says that those epistles of Paul were already being twisted by false teachers just like the rest of the Scriptures. In other words, the apostle Peter was placing the epistles of Paul on the same level with the rest of the Scriptures that you find in the Old Testament. And what this means is that the epistles of Paul were already accepted as divinely inspired Scriptures in the first century by the apostle Peter. From this, then, we can assume that when the Holy Spirit led Paul to inform his audience that all of the written words in the Bible are given by the divine inspiration of God, he was not only referring to the Old Testament, but he was referring to all Scriptures. And listen, when the Holy Spirit led Paul to write those words, do you think the Holy Spirit already knew about the canonization of the New Testament, which would happen afterwards? Of course. Of course, the Holy Spirit already knew about the New Testament, though it wasn't yet canonized or completed. When Paul writes all Scripture, the Holy Spirit is intending to communicate all Scripture. which includes the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And now that we've identified the all scriptures as both the Old and New Testament, as and all of these being inspired by the Holy Spirit, I believe that it's safe for us then to say that the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God. When the false teacher Femi says, if you want to know the Word of God, just listen to the Holy Spirit, he's suggesting that the scriptures are not the Word of God. And yet I can assure you that the Bible confirms the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Let's consider a few verses to support this point. For example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, we find the Apostle Peter. He's referring to the scriptures which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David. In other words, when the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David, those words ended up being recorded, and the record became the scriptures. The scriptures then are the Word of God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we find Paul referring to those Jews of Berea who were receiving the word with all readiness, but then searched the scriptures to find out if Paul was preaching the truth. How about John chapter 10, verse 35, where Jesus refers to the Word of God as the scripture which cannot be broken? Jesus tells us that the Word of God is found in the scriptures which cannot be disproved. And so we see then that the spiritually inspired scriptures are the holy Word of God. What this also means is that those who spend time studying the scriptures, well, we will be blessed as we contemplate the Word of God. How do I know this? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that those who hear the Word of God will be blessed. Not only that, but then John confirms this in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And with this as the focus, let's continue holding our place there in the Gospel of Luke, and let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. See, it's here in the first chapter of Revelation where we find John the Revelator. He's actually helping his audience to understand that those who will take the time to contemplate the prophecies that are found here in this book, they end up getting blessings from God as they begin to understand more and more about God's prophetic plan for the future. Let's consider how John puts it here in Revelation chapter 1. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 1. Here John writes, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to what? To the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Here in the beginning of this book, we find John, he's helping his audience to realize that the Lord has promised to bless those who will take the time to read the words which are written in this book, which there in verse 2, he calls the Word of God. It's also interesting to note that the English word that we find there in verse 3, written, that English word written is translated from the verb form of that Greek word graphe. This time it's grapho, which is the verb form. But it basically means writings. Therefore, the blessings of the Lord, well, they're poured out on those who will read the divinely inspired words which were written in these scriptures that John calls the Word of God. Not only that, but we should also notice what John wrote there in verse 3, where he again declares, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Now, it's interesting to note here that the word "hear," found here in the middle of this verse, it's translated from the same Greek word that Jesus used back in Luke chapter 11, where he declares, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God." In both passages, we see that the person is being blessed as they hear the Word of God. And I would remind you that the original Greek word translated "hear," again, it's not just about, you know, the sense of hearing, but it can also be rendered "consider" or even "contemplate." So blessed are those who contemplate the Word of God. Blessed are those who read and those who contemplate the words that they're reading. With that, it only stands to reason then that John the Revelator was helping his audience to understand that the blessings of this book are poured out on those who will read it and take the time to meditate upon it as we contemplate the prophecies found in this book. And then the same thing, according to Jesus, is true of all the scriptures. As we take the time to read the Bible, we have to meditate on it. We have to contemplate what's being said so that we can then receive the blessings that come from comprehension. Now, this brings us to our second point because, listen, the blessings of the Bible not only belong to those who will take the time to contemplate the scriptures, but the blessings of the Bible belong to those who comprehend the Word of God. And with this as the focus, let's make our way now back to Luke chapter 11. Here we find the Lord encouraging his audience to study the scriptures. If you would look with me again, beginning at verse 28. Here again, the Lord Jesus declares, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God. I want to stop right there. I want to consider once again this word hear. Because it's important for us to understand that the Greek word rendered hear, it not only refers to the time we spend considering and contemplating what we're reading, but the same Greek word was also used in reference to the cognitive ability to comprehend that which we're considering. As we consider what the Bible says, the goal is to then comprehend what we're considering. Therefore, the blessing of the Bible, the blessings that come from the Bible, not only they're not only given to those who take the time to contemplate the Word of God, but the blessings of the Bible are also poured out on those who actually comprehend what they're reading. The only problem with this? Well, it's due to the fact that the scriptures can be extremely difficult to comprehend. In order to prove my point, let's consider the conversation that Jesus had with a group of Sadducees. And the conversation is actually found in the Gospel of Matthew. So hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke and let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. You see, it's here in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel account where we find a group of Sadducees attempting to trick Jesus with a trap question about the resurrection. They present this guy who, you know, ends up, dying, and his wife marries his brother and so on and so forth. And the whole thing was just this trap question. And they were trying to show Jesus that there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. You see, the Sadducees were religious leaders there in Israel who rejected the idea of the resurrection. And that's why they were Sadducees. So anyway, all right. So Jesus challenges them for their failure to comprehend the scriptures. Now with this in mind, look with me here at Matthew chapter 22. After they ask their trick question, it's in verse 29. They're in the middle where Jesus declares, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Now here in these verses, we find the Lord Jesus, he's actually rebuking these religious leaders known as Sadducees. And the reason why is due to the fact that they didn't actually take the time to comprehend the scriptures that they had been studying since they were kids. They grew up studying the scriptures. They cut their teeth on the Torah. And yet they didn't fully comprehend what they had been studying. Listen, those who actually comprehend the scriptures will easily conclude that there is indeed a resurrection from the grave. It doesn't take much to make your way through the scriptures and realize that the Bible talks about a resurrection. And yet they studied the same scriptures and didn't arrive at the same conclusion. Why? Because they weren't studying for comprehension. No, instead, they were studying the scriptures to try to prove their point. Listen, the Bible is a blessing. It's a blessing to those who realize that those who trust in Jesus Christ, we have hope beyond the grave. As we study the scriptures, we see that this life is not everything. That there's an afterlife when those who trust in Jesus Christ will enjoy his mercy forevermore. That's a blessing that we find in the Bible, but the Sadducees, they couldn't see that blessing. And there's many people in the world today who are following in the footsteps of those Sadducees because, listen, they spend time studying the scriptures, but they don't really comprehend what they're reading. Paul actually described these people as those who are always learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They read the Bible, they study the Bible, and they're just as confused afterwards as they were before. I can't even tell you how many times I've opened up the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and others. And I've shown them in the scriptures exactly where their theology is off base, and they just, you see the glaze roll over their eyes. They can't even comprehend what the scriptures are saying. And the reason why is because they've already been convinced of their belief system, and now that's the only way they can read the scriptures is through the lens of that unbiblical belief. When they study the scriptures, they're not looking to learn. No, instead, they're looking for a proof text to support their point of view that they've already embraced. It's called eisegesis. It's when you take something that you believe and you try to force it onto the Bible. And it's sad that the world is filled with people just like this. Sadducees who never mind what the Bible says, I already have what I believe. They fail to comprehend the word of God because they've been blinded by an unbiblical belief that they already received. At the same time, though, there are also others who struggle to comprehend the scriptures, and for good reason. You see, the Bible actually contains 66 different books, which were written by upwards of 40 different authors from different backgrounds over the course of 1,500 years. And not only that, but the Bible includes more than 30,000 verses, which contain an integrated message system, which was designed to reveal the divine will of an infinite mind. And we open up the book and go, I don't even know where to begin here. It's difficult to read the Bible. With all this being the case, we shouldn't be surprised as we realize that, you know, there are many who struggle to comprehend the Bible, not because they don't want to know what the Bible says, but because it's just such a big book with so much in it that it can be overwhelming. This sounds like your situation. I'm happy to tell you that the author wants to help us to comprehend his word. Isn't that incredible to consider? God wants to help us to understand his word. And listen, the Lord Jesus is always happy to help those who trust in him to comprehend his holy word. And in order to prove my point, I want to consider the way that Jesus helped his disciples to comprehend the scriptures. Continue holding your place there in Luke chapter 11, and let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. See, it's here in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel account where we find two men. They're discussing the testimony of those who claim that they had seen the risen Lord. This, of course, is just days after that first Easter Sunday. And while they themselves hadn't yet seen Jesus risen from the grave, they heard rumors. And they're discussing those rumors as they head to a place known as Emmaus. And as they walked, you know, the risen Lord came alongside of them. And of course, he was in a risen body, so they didn't recognize him. And they began to talk about, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they began to share what was happening. And yet their hearts were still filled with doubt because they didn't fully understand the promises found in the scriptures. Thankfully for them, the Lord Jesus began to help them to understand. As a matter of fact, look with me here at Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. Here the Lord Jesus declares, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Simply put, Jesus taught a Bible study. He expounded to them all the scriptures, all the prophetic prophecies, you know, found in the Old Testament. He expounded that information. He taught the Bible to them. He helped these two disciples to understand all of the prophetic promises that were proclaimed by the Old Testament prophets. Now, Jesus could have simply implanted this information into their minds. He could have spoken to them, you know, through telepathy and just kind of introduced this information in their hearts. All the information that he wanted them to understand, he could have just kind of inserted that information into their minds, but he didn't. No, instead, he took the time to expound the scriptures. He explained the writings found in the Old Testament. And in this way, Jesus helped them to experience the blessing that comes upon those who actually comprehend the Word of God. Now, with all that in mind, let's look again here at Luke chapter 24. I want to draw your attention to verse 28, where Luke writes, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" Here we find these disciples rejoicing over the fact that the Lord had helped them to comprehend the scriptures. And after the Lord provided them with the ability to understand the Old Testament scriptures, that's when they experienced this personal connection with the Lord as he broke bread with them. And as we consider the deeper meaning of this story, it's crucial for Christians to understand that our relational connection with Christ is always enhanced by our comprehension of his holy word. He presented them with an exposition of the scriptures first, then they experienced that relational connection with him. Listen, if you really want to have a relational connection with Christ, you need to know his word. And you need to comprehend his word, because his word was given to us, the scriptures were given, so that we can be complete and equipped for every good work. Remember, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where Paul declares that the scriptures were given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Christian, listen, if you want to become a believer who is truly complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work, if you really want the instruction in righteousness that we need so that we can have a right relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, then we must take the time to consider and comprehend the doctrines that the Lord revealed in the pages of his holy word. And as we become better acquainted with the doctrines that we find in the scriptures, then we begin to enjoy the blessings that are experienced by those who have a relational connection with Christ. We need the instructions of God's word so that we understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And in this instruction, we begin to experience the blessings of having a relational connection with Christ as we learn more and more about our Savior's plan for our lives. Now, this brings us to our third and final point, because listen, the blessings of the Bible are not only based on contemplation, and the blessings of the Bible are not only poured out through the comprehension of God's word, but the blessings of the Bible also belong to those who are committed to the consecration of our lives to the Lord according to his word. In order to explain what I mean by this, let's make our way back to Luke chapter 11. Here we find the Lord again encouraging his audience to learn and keep the word of God. Look with me again, beginning at verse 28. Here the Lord Jesus once again declares, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." As we take one last look at this text, it'll help us to understand that the word keep, which is found there at the end of verse 28, well, it's actually translated from a Greek word, which in this context was used to describe those who do what is required according to the instructions that they've received. When you receive instructions, the question is, do you keep those instructions? Do you observe those instructions? Do you do what they require? For example, you know, the person who wants to become a champion in their sport, they do their best to keep the rules so that they might not be disqualified. If you run track, you know that one of the rules, you got to stay in your lane. And if you step out of your lane, you could be disqualified from the race. And so the runner who wants to, you know, get the trophy keeps the rules, stays in their lane so they're not disqualified. With this in mind, now consider what it means to keep the word of God. Those who set out to keep the word of God are studying the scriptures, not only for the sake of contemplation and comprehension, but those who want to keep the word of God are studying the scriptures so that we might apply it to our lives, so that we might take the instructions that the Lord has revealed in his holy word and apply it to our lives as we set out to keep those instructions. And listen, those who do keep the word of God will begin to discover the blessings of the Bible and how they belong to those who actually apply the scriptures to the way we live our lives. I like the way that the Lord Jesus put it in Revelation chapter 22. It's there where he declares, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. In other words, those who obey the instructions that we find in the book of Revelation are going to be blessed by the obedience. And in light of these promises, I can't help but to wonder, you know, how many Christians are actually missing out on the blessings of the Bible, and for no other reason than because they're failing to consecrate their lives according to the instructions of the scriptures. But now, what does that mean, to consecrate our lives according to the instructions of the scriptures? Well, with this question in mind, I want to consider something that James wrote in his epistle. And if you would, let's turn to James chapter 1. And as you make your way to the first chapter of James, I just want to take a moment to point out that those who are determined to keep the word of God, what they're doing is they're consecrating their lives unto the Lord so that we might live a life that is pleasing to him. That the concept of consecration here, in this sense, it speaks of a person who dedicates their life to the devotion of the Lord. A consecration speaks of someone who sets themselves apart for the sake of our Savior. And listen, the dedicated devotion of Christian consecration includes a commitment to taking the word of God, hiding it in our hearts so that we might live accordingly, so that we might apply the word to the way we live our lives. This is Christian consecration. Let's consider how James describes it here in James chapter 1. Look with me there, beginning at verse 22. Here James writes, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Who's blessed? The one who reads the Bible, sees what it says, and actually applies it to their life. This one will be blessed in what they do. The Christian who is completely committed to keeping the word of God is going to be blessed in everything they do. Now, who doesn't want to be blessed? Listen, the blessings of the Bible are enjoyed by those who study the scriptures, and then after discovering what the Bible says, we become those committed Christians who are living a life of dedicated devotion according to the information and instructions that we find in the Bible. With this as the goal, let's take another look at verse 25, because here James again declares, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now, as we take another look at this verse, we see James presenting us with the key for receiving the blessings of the Bible. What is the key? Well, the key is our consecration, which is found in the word continue. Notice again, verse 25, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." In other words, the consecrated Christian not only contemplates the word, the consecrated Christian not only comprehends the word, but the consecrated Christian continues to keep the word of God as we live a life of dedicated devotion. And listen, as we continue to keep the word of God, we continue to receive and enjoy the blessings of the Bible. If you want to continue to be blessed by the Bible, then continue to keep the word. With this as the goal, I want to consider some instructions that Paul presented to the church in Colossae as he helped them to understand what it looks like to have a life that's consecrated to the Lord. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and as you make your way to the third chapter of Colossians, I just want to take a moment to remind you that there's a path that seems right to the natural mind of man. There's a path that we think will result in blessings. There's a path, a road that we think, if we go down this road, then by the time I get to the end of this road, all the blessings. It reminds me of my years, you know, before becoming a Christian. I thought, well, if I just do these things, if I can, you know, become an artist and a musician and you know, get a record contract, and if I can, you know, get published as an artist, and if I can just make it to the end of this road, that at the end of this road, I'm going to be blessed. All these blessings are mine at the end of this road. And the further I got down that road, the more I realized that, no, there's no, it's just more of the same. There weren't blessings. There was a path that seemed right to me, but the longer I spent on that road, the more I realized there were going to be no blessings. Conversely, there's a narrow path that's extremely difficult. And oftentimes people take a few steps on this narrow path and we realize how difficult it is, and we think, oh, there couldn't be any blessings on this road. This is a road of self-sacrifice. This is a road of serving others. This is a road that you know, keeps me from doing what I really want to do. There couldn't be any blessings on this road. And yet we fail to recognize that actually that is the narrow path that leads to the blessings of the Lord. Christian, listen, the Lord is leading us on a journey of self-sacrifice as he calls us to crucify our carnal desires. And it's important to realize that this is the path that brings us into the blessings of the Lord. And this path, we actually have a map for it. We actually have instructions that guide us on this narrow path, and the instructions are found in the Word of God. And we find some of these instructions right here in Colossians chapter 3. Look with me there, beginning at verse 5, where Paul declares, "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Now, understand here that Paul here is encouraging the Christians there at the church in Colossae to consecrate their lives according to the instructions that we find here in these verses. He was helping them to realize that the consecrated Christian is actively crucifying their carnal cravings, and we do this by putting to death all of those sinful desires that we once enjoyed, those sinful desires that we thought would bring blessings but only resulted in addiction. Yeah, he's saying, kill all of that. Crucify it. Those who want to keep the word of God will begin to deny the desires of their fallen flesh. We'll begin to say no to our sinful nature. And not only will we say no to those sinful things, but the Christian who wants to really consecrate their lives according to the Word of God will also become believers who are dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ as we begin to apply things to our lives that we never thought we would do. For example, let's pick up our study of Colossians chapter 3 there at verse 12. Here Paul writes, "As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's continuing to encourage the Christians there at the church in Colossae, and he's encouraging them to consecrate their lives to the Lord according to these instructions. And as we consider all of this, all these verses, listen, consecration not only includes this call to crucify the carnal cravings of the fallen flesh, but the consecrated Christian is also a dedicated disciple who is actively serving the Lord here within our Christian community. In other words, the dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ are not only denying their sinful desires, but we're also submitting our lives to the leadership of the Lord according to the instructions of His holy word. And as we do this, we find ourselves becoming these believers who are completely plugged into our fellowship of faith, where we're continuing to study the Bible together and sing the praises of our Savior together. Now, as I think back to my days before becoming a Christian, you know, I would have never thought that, you know, the greatest joy of my life would be to be a Christian who's plugged into a Christian community where we're studying the Bible and singing the praises of Jesus. When I was in the world, I would have never imagined that there would ever be a day that I would be thrilled to wake up and go to church. I just wanted to go and drink my beer and do my drugs and party and do all the things that I was doing. And I thought that was the path to true blessings. And yet the longer I was on that path, the more miserable I was. And then I came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I consecrated my life to Him, and I committed myself to knowing what His word says. And not only that, but I committed myself to applying what it says to my life. And while I haven't arrived and I'm not perfect, I'm here to tell you that the more I apply the truth of God's word to my life, the more blessed I am. The more I learn about God's word and the more I apply it to my life, the more blessed I am. And it doesn't even make sense, because my flesh wants all these other things. But the more I crucify all of that and the more I submit my life to my Savior Jesus, the more blessed I am. And I know the same will be true for you as well. For this reason that I encourage you to study the Word of God, know what it says, and apply it to your lives. Because this is the path of true blessing. I like the way that the psalmist summed it up in the 119th Psalm. It's there where he declares, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." The psalmist took God's word, he took the scriptures, he meditated on it, he learned it, he studied it, and he memorized it, and he applied it to his life so that he might not sin against the Lord. And in similar fashion, the consecrated Christian is the believer who has consecrated the word of God within their hearts and within their minds for the specific purpose that we might live a life that is dedicated to the Lord, so that we might become those dedicated disciples who are completely committed to Christ. And according to Jesus, those who hear the word of God and keep it will be blessed. Those who spend time studying the scriptures with the goal of understanding and obeying God's word, these believers will enjoy all of the blessings that the Lord has promised to pour out on those who consecrate His word within our hearts so that we might apply it to our lives. With that being the case, I would conclude this study by encouraging every Christian to remember that the blessings of the Bible, they belong to those who contemplate the Word of God. Therefore, we ought to spend time every day studying the Scriptures, meditating on the Word of God as we consider the communication that God has provided to us. And the blessings of the Bible also belong to those who comprehend the Word of God. And it's for this reason that we ought to take the time to ask the Lord to help us to understand His Word. Let's cry out to the Holy Spirit, who was sent to guide us into all truth so that we might understand what is found in the Word of God. And with the comprehension, let's not forget that the blessings of the Bible belong to those who consecrate the Word of God in our hearts so that we might apply it to our lives. And as we consecrate the truth of God's Word within our hearts and begin to apply it to our lives, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can become those consecrated Christians who are aligning our lives according to the instructions that we find in His holy word. And as we become these devoted disciples who are not just hearers of the word, but doers also, well, we can rejoice in knowing that we are becoming those believers who will continue to enjoy all of the blessings of the Bible. Let's pray.